welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdahl, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and Bird Seeds. And you'll find her at Tara Wellman on the Twitters. We come to you after the Cardinals finally were able to solve the Tigers. That's not a sentence we expected to say last week. And after a... Well, I heard Bernie Mikolas and Will Leach call that National Series grueling, and for the fact that the Cardinals won 2 out of 3, it pretty much was. It was tough series to go through. It's been kind of a weird, rough week, and I know it's somewhat just because we got spoiled with August, but, you know, the Cardinals went 3-3, but it just didn't feel quite the same as it did in August, did it?
No, it was definitely a struggle. It was a weird week, and it just felt like everything was a lot harder than it was in August, which is really not that absurd. We all talked all August about the torrid pace they were on and how they would inevitably come back to Earth and how it would seem so tragic when it happened. And then all of a sudden, the first week of September, here it is. This is the moment we were trying to prepare for. And even so, it was not that great. And if you go back before that, I mean, the way that the Red Series ended up and, you know, killing the series winning streak and then trying not to carry that over into the National Series. And of course, like you mentioned, they won the series, but it was a weird start to what ended up being a less than impressive week, I guess, as this is a team that is really coming down to the wire trying to make sure that they claim a playoff spot. And I think that just magnifies every one of those weird little things, whether it's a bullpen miscue or whether it's a loss in a series against the Nationals, or if it's, you know, whatever, pick one thing that has happened in the last week. It might not be that tragic, but it's magnified because we were just looking at the calendar before we started recording and there's not much time left. And I think the flip side of that for me is that, you know, there were a lot of weeks of this season where I was fairly certain and kind of resigned to the idea of this Cardinals team not making the postseason, and for them to then climb all the way back like they did, to do it in such captivating fashion, any sort of step backwards feels a little bit more dramatic than maybe it is. But there's this hint of they can't let this slip away after all the hard work they've done to get to this point. So that makes a week like this last one, like I said, maybe feel a little more magnified than it is in real life.
Yeah, Alan and I talked about it on Media Mutual a little bit about whether the blame comes down, if the Cardinals miss the playoffs now, to the beginning of the year where they did not play well and kind of got behind and dug their own hole, or if it comes down to how they play the next 2 or 3 weeks. And kind of the indication was I think more people are going to put some blame on these last 3 weeks just because they did get out of that hole. They were able to get into this. I mean, you know, at one time, 2.5 games behind the Cubs after all this was said and done, before stumbling a little bit here over the last week or two. So, it is interesting, and it was a rough week, but the Cardinals still sit a game ahead of the Dodgers for that last wild card spot, and 2.5 games now behind Milwaukee, who apparently are going to do their darndest to chase down the Cubs, sitting now 2 games behind them, and I believe opening up a series tomorrow between the 2 teams tomorrow, so that should be an interesting thing to watch. And again, yeah, you know, who do you root for there? I don't know. We'll get into that later. The Cardinals, as we were talking a little bit before the show, I saw an article this morning that said the Cardinals were content or happy with not having a closer. Now the article just removed, and the Cardinals have a closer in Carlos Martinez. So apparently they weren't as happy as maybe everybody thought. Given the struggles of Odorizzi this week, given somewhat of the, I don't know about inconsistency, but it feels like that a little bit with Jordan Hicks. Seeing Carlos Martinez and knowing he's going to be your ninth inning guy, it feels like right now that's probably the best option.
Yeah, you know, just to sort of backtrack a minute, the Cardinals were content, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see it, to not have a closer when the season started, and then they went out and signed Greg Holland. So I wouldn't buy too much into the narrative of the Cardinals not being interested in naming a closer. But no, I think we've sort of talked since the last Carlos Martinez injury about what his role could be for this team and how he could be best utilized with the concerns about his health and his preparation. And it sounds like there's a lot more to that than just, you know, it's not a matter of him not really being healthy. It's about putting him in a role where he's going to be most prepared. And we can talk more about that if you want. But the point is there was question about how to put him in a position where his skill set could still be an asset to this team. And I think what we've seen from him out of the bullpen is that his skill set is a tremendous asset to this team. You know, whether that's in high leverage innings in the middle of the game when you're trying to bridge the gap to those back of the bullpen guys, or with Bud Norris kind of crashing and burning in the last couple of weeks. If Martinez can slide into that spot, then you don't have to put Jordan Hicks in an unfamiliar and uncomfortable position in the ninth inning. And I would suggest, this is sort of me projecting maybe a bit of a concern that I have with Hicks. He has this tendency, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, he has a tendency to try to outdo himself or to try to outdo the previous moment. As much as he's kind of the cool as a cucumber, nothing ruffles his feathers guy, I'm not sure that youth side of him that always wants to be a little bit better and always wants to do a little bit more is the best mentality for a closer in a playoff race. Because when you get into that ninth inning, I mean, if it's Jordan Hicks, I don't need Jordan Hicks to be better than he has been. I need him to just be what he has been. So if you have a guy like Carlos Martinez who knows what he's good at, who knows how to channel that energy and that focus and that skill set into a limited amount of time, which has sometimes been the problem for Carlos Martinez, the starter, it seems like that's a more reliable option. Plus, if you ever needed him to come in and get a 5 or 6 out save, as opposed to just the 3 outs in the ninth, he's certainly capable of doing that as well. So this bullpen puzzle has been weird from day one, and it's been a matter of mixing and matching and finding the right pieces, which was not a thing that Mike Matheny did well. It's something that Mike Shildt did brilliantly in August, but using so many young arms, so many young guys who are in positions they've never been in before, and that consistency just isn't there. So to have Martinez available to put him in that role certainly makes the most sense when you have a guy in Norris who just can't get it done right now.
Yeah, I mean, the collapse of Norris, I know we've had some people this week, I believe Joe Schwartz had an article at The Athletic that I hadn't really got a chance to read yet, but talking a little bit about, you know, his degrading peripherals, and others have indicated that it just, you know, it wasn't just the fact that he gave up home runs on Sunday and Monday, and they got people talking about this, although that did not help at all. But he's had some other issues, and so, you know, maybe it is time to dial him back and get a little bit different spot, a little lesser spot. And if, you know, if you can get to the postseason and if you can get Jordan Hicks and Bud Norris both fairly going well, you know, as eighth inning guys, and, you know, alternate them and have Carlos Martinez available, and you can do a lot of damage. But this bullpen, you're right, has been very shaky as of late. And part of that is all the young arms. Part of that is these young arms starting to hit their innings limits. It feels like, I don't know, it just feels like Dakota Hudson has nothing left. I mean, when you look at him and you watch him, I know he got an out today, but he walked a guy, and it just doesn't feel, and this is a guy that wasn't a big strikeout guy anyway. If he doesn't have a, you know, anything in the tank, or at least a lot in the tank, he's going to get hurt, you know, either with walks or with some very untimely hits. And some of these other guys are hitting that kind of that wall too. I mean, you're seeing Jack Flaherty says he's fine and he looks okay, but the Cardinals are going to give him those extra days and start with a six-man rotation. You got, you know, guys like Ponce de Leon and some of these others that may not have ever pitched in September, you know, maybe some playoff games, but in at Memphis, but have never been in a major league pennant race. You know, this is all well and good until the bill comes due, and you know, there's a little bit of a fear that that bill is going to come due here in September, and so being able to take a veteran arm like Carlos Martinez and put him in that role and say, he's your guy. You're right. I think that gives a lot of purpose, and it seems to have given a lot of purpose to Carlos Martinez as well. You know, we had this issue earlier in the year where he was very tentative coming back from the DL, not wanting to hurt himself. That kind of attitude is not there now. I mean, you look at Carlos, and he's having probably more fun than he's had in a long time, going out there in the eighth and ninth and just trying to shut teams down and, you know, be able to reach back and rear back and throw. I don't know.
Which,
I don't know if that's
the focus or not. That's such a fascinating part of this for me as far as the story of Carlos Martinez goes, because we spent a lot of time early this season and going back to last season talking about this idea that it seems like a lot of people want Carlos Martinez to be someone other than who he is in order to be the ace of the staff. I think what you're seeing in this very limited opportunity for Carlos Martinez is that he's not going out there trying to have the Chris Carpenter mentality and trying to have, you know, Adam Wainwright vintage stuff and trying to, he's just out there to do what he does, and he knows what he does well. He knows he only has to do it in that limited space, and he knows that the game is on the line, and that is when Carlos Martinez seems to be the most in his element as he ever is. So it's another little note, I guess, in the continued development of who Carlos Martinez is and what he can be going forward, that, you know, it seems like this is a moment where he's not trying to be anything other than who Carlos Martinez is. And, you know, maybe there have been conversations that have taken place since he was on the DL, and they've talked a lot about working with him on his preparation and how he goes about his business day to day, and all of those things, I think, go into that. But I also think there's something to this very defined role and this very defined job that tells him exactly what he needs to do anytime he steps onto that mound. And he's able to really isolate that and then just do what he does so well. You know, that's not to say he's never going to scare us a little bit by putting some runners on base, because that's sort of the way he goes about his job sometimes. But it does seem like he's in a place where he's not overthinking it. He's not getting ahead of himself. He's not in his own way to do what he does so well.
And there was that idea that him being in the bullpen, where he has to be ready just about every day, never know when he's going to get called on, was better for him than a day of starting and 4 days off. So far, it seems to be that's the case. Now, again, like you're saying, I don't think that this is going to be a permanent thing. We're not going to see Carlos Martinez closer in 2019.
Right.
I don't believe. But, you know, for right now, I think it makes the most sense, and it's about all you can do. I mean, the Cardinals have done so much with this bullpen now, and they got such good results for so long, but it's hard to see what else they can do now that maybe the cracks are starting to show. I mean, you know, you can hope for Adam Wainwright to help ease some of the starting rotation burden. Obviously, we thought we were going to see Michael Walker maybe return, but that seems unlikely now. You know, Mike Myers should be back sometime soon to help out. Maybe once Memphis's run is done, you'll see people like, you know, Giovanni Gallardo, or Gallegos, sorry, I got confused with the old Brewer guy now. Anyway, the the slugger that just won the won the game for Memphis today. Maybe you'll see him come up, or some other arms that are on the 40-man roster that maybe they'll bring them up and try to, you know, at least if nothing else, give a break to some of these other guys. We'll see. But, you know, right now, this is the team that they've got. And I don't, you know, Mike Schilt has to make the best decisions he can, but, you know, these guys have got to perform, and we'll see if they can. It should be interesting. Now, we've talked about the pitching, and somewhat, but one of the better stories of the week was the fact that Marcell Ozuna actually could hit home runs. It was, it was stunning and shocking, but yeah, so what somebody say, he's had like 10 in his last 39 games versus 11 in his first 100 and whatever. His return from the DL after getting a cortisone shot or whatever he got seems to have been some significant, you know, a significant improvement. And, you know, whether it's, I know Eric Manning, and I haven't had a chance to read it, I know Eric Manning wrote for Birds of the Black about Ozuna, and I was seeing some tweets from him, and it basically is like, you really can't tell if anything's different. So maybe it was just the fact that, you know, he's not swinging in pain. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird how instant that seems to have been. And, you know, we've seen shades of this turnaround for Marcell Ozuna all year. I mean, way back early in the season, it was Zach Gifford writing about his stance and the toe tap and things that were different from last year when he was so successful. We saw him go back to some of that and start to look good again and then slide right back into the single you to death mode that he seemed to be in most of the year. But it was also extremely evident from the very beginning of the season, watching him throw, that his shoulder hurt. I mean, it was very obvious that his arm was a problem. And we watched Matt Carpenter most of last season not look great at the plate without acknowledging that his shoulder issue was a part of that problem at the plate. There, you can't convince me that that wasn't a part of Ozuna's problem most of the season as well. It's curious that they would wait as long as they did to attempt to do anything about it. Maybe that's just me. It seems a little weird. But I guess the idea, or the prevailing wisdom is, hey, if we're actually going to make the playoffs, we need you to be able to hit. So let's do this now and hope that it carries you through the rest of the season. It's great to see. I think there's a pessimistic view that kind of sees it as too little too late as far as analyzing what Marcell Ozuna did for the Cardinals this year. But it is nice to know that that power is still there. He has two multi-home run games in the last week, which is, and one just outside of that, I guess still in August, but nonetheless, it's good to see the power. It's just a little frustrating to see it turn on quite so late.
Although it does then, of course, make for an interesting off-season discussion because, you know, there has been this talk of, you know, how do you fill your outfield, and is Marcell Ozuna a guy you want to build around? And, you know, could you trade him for being a free agent, but he's not done much? Well, if he's shown his powers back, then you would think if you want to trade him this offseason, you can get maybe not what you gave up for him, although it's questionable how much that package was anyway, but get something of fairly good value for him if he's showing that he can be at least on pace, some sort of par with that 37 home run guy that was last year. So, and not that, you know, not the Cardinals are going to move him necessarily, but it does add a little bit of a wrinkle that we weren't thinking that we were going to have, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, other than that, it doesn't feel like the offense did a whole lot this week. I mean, they scored 11 against the Nationals in one game, scored 7 again, but, you know, they went to Detroit. They scored, what, 5 runs in the first game, and then, they scored 3 runs. The Tigers scored 5. They won that game. And didn't score much yesterday. In fact, today, I think, today they had a perfect game going. The Tigers did through 5 innings before, you know, in the 7th, you know, obviously Colton Wong took care of business.
Obviously.
Because that's what Colton Wong does.
I don't know if you know this, but he's, as we like to say on Twitter, hashtag good.
I have heard this. I've heard this somewhere along the way. And I don't know where, but it'll come to me. Anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, it just, you know, again, we've talked about the pitching kind of hitting a wall. You wonder if some of the offensive things have as well. Jose Martinez has looked absolutely terrible this week. I mean, besides the three-hit game he had on Wednesday, I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the two at-bats with bases loaded, nobody out, that he did not come through on, but he has just taken some really wild swings this week. It feels like that you kind of almost expect that he's going to walk up there and strike out. That just feels like that's what kind of week it's been for Jose, and I don't know, I can't tell you why. I mean, it just kind of like he's, you know, somebody flipped a switch and now he can't hit anymore.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's not just Jose Martinez. I mean, he's been, I think, the most dramatically bad, but it's been a team-wide thing. I mean, we talked about before the managerial change, double-digit strikeouts were not a big deal. But after that, it was a more rare occurrence to see those double-digit strikeouts. Now, it happened, but the Cardinals, I'm looking at it now, did not top 10 strikeouts until over a month into the Mike Schilt, Badaska, Greer era. But in the last week, since September started, they've gone 14 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts, 14, 12, only 4 in the last game with Washington, but then 12 and 14 in the first two with Detroit. So it's been a nightmare shift back to kind of the most depressing days of watching this Cardinals offense, because no one's taking good swings, no one's making good contact, and they've faced some good pitchers in the process there, but you know, those kinds of strikeout numbers are a cautionary tale, if nothing else, as far as getting away maybe from what the approach was that was making them so potent and so capable of coming back in any situation, you know, in the month of August and towards the end of July. So, I mean, ideally, we're not the only ones looking at those numbers. Badaska and Greer and Schilt and company will also be looking at that as they move into this next week, because as we mentioned off the top of the show, there's not a lot of time to just sort of casually figure out where all these strikeouts are coming from. You know, you got to have a plan and figure out how to execute it.
Yeah, and I just kind of, like I said, I had pulled up Jose Martinez. He's counting today 5 for 30, his last 32 with 15 strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's, you know, basically every other plate appearance is a strikeout, and that's, and no walks in that time period either, which is also an issue, and all those hits are singles. So it's, you know, again, we were talking, I think it was last week, where Matt Carpenter had not been hitting well and Jose had not been hitting well, and you know, you kind of needed these guys to pick up. And while Matt Carpenter has done a pretty good job this week, I think, without pulling up numbers, it feels like he's had a fairly solid week. You know, you're getting guys like Jose Martinez. You get Yadier Molina, who sat out the entire series in Detroit, which probably means they amputated a leg somewhere along the way, and they just didn't tell us.
He's trying to grow it back.
That's Well, I mean, he probably will by tomorrow, but, you know.
Got to make it back in time for the Wainwright start.
That's right, because, you know, absolutely nobody else can catch Adam Wainwright.
It's against all the rules.
That's right. Because who knows? This could be Adam Wainwright's last start in Busch Stadium, and it would be completely wrong if Yadier Molina was not behind the plate. Now, hopefully that's not the case, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But, it's just the offense is sputtering. It's at points in time. I mean, you still get some good plays and you get some good moments, but they've had opportunities this week, and you would like to think they would come through. Now, you know, some of that is the league adjusting to the new Cardinal, the new look. They're not going to keep pitching you the same way when you've started to hit that way. So, you know, about a month in, and the book kind of gets around on them, but it's going to be up to them to make some adjustments and hope that they can capture a little bit of that, because they don't need to score 8 runs, 9 runs, 10 runs every night, but you need to score 4 or 5 at least, and hope this pitching staff can hold that. And usually it will probably be able to. So let's talk a little bit about Adam Wainwright, since we were just mentioning that. He does make his start tomorrow. Comes off. He has not pitched since, what, May, I think, for the Cardinals. Has not pitched well for the Cardinals since, well, your mileage may vary, I guess, but it's been quite some time. Looked good in his rehab starts. Of course, Adam Wainwright has never actually said he feels bad when asked, unless it's well after the fact. Like, oh yeah, I was feeling bad last year. Well, Adam, last year you told us you were 100%, so why should we believe when you tell you you're 100% now? But he looks okay. He seems to be all right. The numbers, the radar guns are looking, if not overwhelming, at least reasonable. What do you think we see tomorrow out of Adam Wainwright?
I'm absolutely terrified. not because I think it's going to be a complete train wreck, but because, you know, we can talk X's and O's all day as far as what Adam Wainwright has to offer and what the Cardinals need to do to cut down the strikeouts. And since, you know, Zach Gifford is taking a bit of a break, I can try to talk launch angle and spin rate. It's probably not going to go well, but I'll use my best Zach Gifford imitation to do so. We can do that all day, and that's good and well, but part of what draws us back to this game year in and year out is the people and the players. And for me, that has been Adam Wainwright. I didn't grow up in St. Louis. I didn't really invest in baseball until I was in high school, and my family moved to the Midwest, and it was accessible to me for the first time, and that involved Adam Wainwright. So there's so much wrapped up in the career of Adam Wainwright for fans like me who almost don't know the Cardinals without Adam Wainwright. Not to, you know, age myself, but nonetheless.
Good luck, Carrie. You're still not gonna. That's not gonna happen on the show.
But no, you know, it's to have this opportunity for him to come back and pitch at Busch Stadium. There's a lot there. We've talked about it in the past that Adam Wainwright hasn't always performed his best in the most emotional, the most high drama moments, because I think he wants that moment just as desperately as a fan like me wants it for him. And at times he's gotten caught up in the moment and the size of that moment. But I think he knows that this could end any day for him. So I'm curious to see how that translates into the way he goes about his job, the way that his mentality may change. You know, not to wax poetic any more than necessary, but I have to imagine it's such a weird place mentally to go from a guy who's a perennial Cy Young candidate, but then also to have this track record throughout your career that's so riddled with season-ending injuries that you almost feel like you never quite got there, wherever there is. And then to be at this point of your career where you know you can't be that guy anymore. And I think it's been a weird awakening for Adam Wainwright to realize that he's not that guy, but to find a different way to still feel good. I heard him talking when he came up on the broadcast with Danny Mac, and I think Ricky Horton was the color guy that day. And first of all, if you didn't hear Adam Wainwright call the John Gant home run, you have not lived. but nonetheless, he was talking about how he just weeks earlier wasn't sure he was going to, you know, be much help at all to this team. And then all of a sudden things started to click and he started to feel better and he started to recover again. And he realized how much fun it was to get outs. And you never want to see that guy not be able to go out on his own terms, I guess. Yep. And so that's why, for me, there's so much wrapped up in this Adam Wainwright start that's sort of its own separate thing from the Cardinals trying to make the playoffs. But then you add that on top of it, and there's this much more realistic side of me going, okay, if Adam Wainwright can only give you 4 innings and the bullpen is already pretty taxed anyway, this might be a problem.
Yeah. That's absolutely fair. I mean, you know, hopefully he can do more than that. And, you know, I figure there's been a little bit of positioning and stuff to get people available for that. I mean, I don't remember the last time we saw Luke Weaver, for instance, who should be able to cover some of that. But you're right. I mean, there are a lot of risks involved. It's kind of interesting when you look back at Adam Wainwright's career, and Adam Wainwright is going to go down as one of the greatest Cardinals. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame and all that, but there's just, it feels like there's some things missing there, you know? I mean, he had his great moments in 2006 as a reliever when he's, you know, basically been a starter. He misses all of 2011, which is, means he misses that other chance for the ring. You know, he misses almost all of 2015. You know,
which, by the way, if we look at the way that year started for him, mm-hmm. he was on track for one of his best seasons. Yeah. He'd never looked better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that was just so painful for that, because he did look like that, and he's never been the same since that injury. Yeah. I mean, he came back as a reliever, and they were able to manage it, and he looked all right there, but he's never been a starter since then. That's been effective as well as we've had. You know, and then you get into, you know, he pitched him to the World Series in 2013 and then had some, you know, really, really bad games. Yep. And we have seen him lay some eggs on big stages. I mean, you think about 2012, that game against the Nationals where the Cardinals had to rally. Well, they had to rally because Adam Wainwright put him in such a big hole to start with. And again, this is none of this just to take you away from Adam Wainwright, because Adam Wainwright is one of my favorites. He's been, like I said, a legend in Cardinal baseball. It's just kind of weird that he, except for 2006 when he was a reliever, he doesn't have those signature moments almost like a Chris Carpenter does or things like that as a starter. You know, and, you know, runner up in the Cy Young a couple of times, but never able to get the hardware either. It's almost like a lot of what might have been with Adam Wainwright. And,
yeah.
And who knows? I mean, you know, he could come out and have a great September, and then everybody starts talking about, well, what are we going to do for next year? Because if Adam Wainwright wants to pitch next year, that's a difficult conversation to have.
Well, you know, he's going to be thinking about that if he comes out and has a good September. He's going to be going, see, I told you I wasn't done.
But I feel like Adam Wainwright doesn't want to pitch anywhere else besides St. Louis. And if St. Louis doesn't want to take him, what does that look like? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting, it'll be, hopefully that's the conversation we're going to have and not, oh no, Adam, go home.
Right.
Know, that's not what we want to see. So, however, somebody that is going home or should be going home is Michael Wacha, as we referenced earlier. He had another setback, was scratched from his last rehab start with oblique injury. You know, obviously they're running out of time for him to have a chance to, you know, pitch on the minor league level before making it back to St. Louis. As much as the Cardinals could use an arm right now, they just really got to shut him down, don't they?
You know, it's so tough because you talk about a guy that keeps sort of having these false starts. It's Michael Wacha. You know, we've seen him have these incredible runs where he looks like he can be that front of the rotation kind of guy, and then there's an injury issue that pops up. And, you know, oblique injuries are so tricky because it feels like just the tiniest little thing can re-aggravate it and you start all over again. But you're right. As far as the timing, it would have been great to have early season Michael Wacha show up, who was quietly much better than I think I gave him credit for at the start of the year. I sort of have this these blinders on for Michael Wacha, where I just sort of prepare myself for the inevitable injury ahead of time so that I'm not quite as crushed by it. He was quietly much better than I expected him to be this year, and that would absolutely have come into play in a September run trying to make something happen as far as the postseason is concerned. When you have this rotation of young, untested, unproven arms, but you can't take that risk to try to push him to be ready, because we've seen how horribly that can go wrong as well. Not to bring back any nightmares for anyone, but we've played that game. Doesn't work out well. No. I've seen that movie. I don't really want to see the sequel. So yeah, it does seem like the smart thing to do, disappointing as it may be, is just shut him down, let him get healthy, and then hope that he doesn't, you know, fall start again next year.
Hopefully that's the case. But, you know, it's pitchers, it's injuries. You never know, unfortunately. Right. That is the problem with any pitcher, but, you know, starting reliever or whatever, you just don't, you know, and once you go down the injury path, forever it dominates your destiny, it feels like. So, Cardinals have three with Pittsburgh. Then they have a big 4-game series with the Dodgers in Busch, which may, by the time we get back together, assuming we get back together next week, and that's kind of iffy because, you know, Tara works for a living. And so.
Gets in the way of things.
Yeah, I don't pay her enough to do this show when somebody else is paying money. So we may be with you next week, maybe
not. But if you'd like to make donations.
Absolutely. You know, Tara will
we'll not work out.
You know, if you want to pay her $100,000 to do this podcast, she will take it. I promise you.
Or just find us a sponsor. You know, that'd be fine. Let the internet do things.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Anyway, and that's true, daydreaming. So the Cardinals do have this big series with the Dodgers that could have them out of the playoff picture this time next week, or could have them fairly solidly in it. We'll just have to wait and see. This is a kind of a big week, and then the Cardinals then go to Atlanta after that. There's really not. I mean, even this 3-game with Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh is not what they were earlier in the year, is still big. There's really not a, I mean, there's not a small series left just because of how the things work, but a lot of good teams being played, this next two to three weeks left too. So we will be with you sometime soon before the end of the season to talk all about it. But until that time, I am Daniel and that's Tara. Good night.
Hey Cardinals fans, thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.